excited about the way the Lord moved around here on Sunday. What a powerful service on Sunday. Amen. And we baptized Allie in the water in the name of Jesus. And they filmed that, and with her permission, of course, and put it on Facebook. And it's had over 18,000 views. Isn't that awesome? 18,000 views. And she come out of that water. The Lord just touched her so powerfully. And, of course, she had already received the gift of the Holy Ghost, but we're just thankful for what the Lord did for her there. And then we had a few more receive the Holy Ghost this morning. We had, I'm trying to remember his name, is Brother Morgan, Travis, Joe. Yeah, that's a hard name to remember, right, Joe? And God filled Joe with the Holy Ghost, and in Jesus' name, give the Lord praise. And I know I haven't formally met you, forgive me for that, but this beautiful family that's been coming for a few weeks, the Lord blessed them so greatly, and their daughter, was that your daughter Sunday? And their daughter on Sunday, and I'll try to meet you formally after service, if you'll hang around for a minute or two, after everybody gets through bugging me. But, and then we had some others that were filled with the Holy Ghost, so we're just excited about revival. Amen? The Lord's doing wonderful things. Doing wonderful things. Wonderful. We're excited about it. Everybody say prayer. So, sister, put that prayer dilly up there. We have prayer in the mornings and at noon and in the evening. At noon at 12, in the evening at 9:30, in the morning at 6:30 to 7. And we all call in together on that number that's going to be on that screen here in about 3 seconds. And we call that number, put in the code, and you can become a part of prayer. And the church gathers together and prays. Everybody say, you can just leave it up there for a little bit, sis. Everybody say foundational life classes. Those take place at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And there are 3 sets of 10s, so 30 lessons altogether. They are incredible. They'll transform your life, and they'll bring you through different areas of your life that the Lord really wants to move in and be a part of and change you, your mind, your thinking, and great revelation in these lessons. You know, sometimes we get wrapped up in tradition, and then when we find out what the Word has to say about it, it can make a big difference in our life. Amen? This isn't about religion, is it? It's about relationship. And we want to know Him and walk with Him the way that His Word expresses to us. So they just finished lesson 8. They're going to start lesson 9 next Sunday. So in a few weeks, we're going to start this thing all over, I believe, right? We're on level 3. So we're going to be kicking in level 1 again. And if you haven't gone through those, even if you've been a member of the church for a while, you haven't gone through those, we encourage you so much to roll out of bed just a little earlier and get dressed and make your way to the house of the Lord. I also want to encourage our Wednesday night crowd, if you have children of any age on Wednesday nights, remember that all of our youth right now are in the back, having their own service, and sometimes they split up in classes, sometimes they are in one service, but they will learn so much in these classes, practical today teaching about living for God in this generation. And then on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, we have classes, adult class right here. Some of the greatest teachers on the planet. Sunday school for our children's ministry for the younger children. And again, all of our youth from 12 years old all the way up to 22 are in classes learning and being taught by some incredible teachers, and it will be a wonderful blessing to your children. Everybody say spaghetti. If you're going to feed the spirit, you have to feed the body. So after service, we're trying to raise money to get a really, really nice camera so the camera guy can be in the back, and we will live stream. Our new website is about ready to launch. We've had a committee working on that. We're excited about it, and we'll walk you through it before we launch it. You know, we launched one not too long ago, and we didn't walk you through it, so everybody started screaming and hollering. And so we're going to make sure that we walk you through it before we launch it. But you'll love it. It'll be wonderful. Listen, sometimes change is good. Sometimes it's not. In this case, it's good because Pastor says it is. So you'll adapt. Anything God does for you is good. Amen? So the dinner's Sister, all the way in the back, Sister Turner. $5? Okay. And did you cook it up or did you buy it at, you cooked it? Okay. I don't know if you got it at Publix. You cooked it? Okay. I'm just kidding. Sister Turner is one of the greatest cooks on the planet. I mean, she's a great cook. So this is homemade spaghetti. So pull out $5. Notice I announced it after the offering. So pull out another $5 and buy a plate, bring it home, and or eat it on the way if you want. Be good. Sister Walcott, I want to make one more announcement, then we'll get right into the word tonight. The funeral service for her brother, Derek Ferguson, is going to be this coming Saturday. Is that the 6th? Sister Walcott, are you in the building? Okay, that's the 6th. Okay, Saturday. And it's going to be at Mount Calvary Baptist Church, which is in Belglade. So those of us that actually live in Belglade, and it's at 2 p.m., so it's in the middle of the day. If you can make it, be great. Those of us that do not, Sister Walcott, the Walcott family has been members of this church as long as I have. So 25 years, man. All right, let's stand, if you will. We're going to go into the word of the Lord, and we are going to read from Book of Matthew, chapter 5. I get to preach, and this might, I'm not sure where I'm a little loud at. It might be the side speakers. Are y'all comfortable out there? I get to preaching, just don't hurt their ears. Unless they look like they're sleeping, then you can turn it up, put reverb in it. We have been studying the Sermon on the Mount, and what a great journey this has been. We've learned so much, and what wonderful revelation when we learned about being the salt and being the light. Last Wednesday, we started a teaching that I sort of laid the foundation. I want to kind of finish that tonight. We're veering just a tab from the main subject. But what I want to talk about tonight, I want to continue what we touched on last Wednesday, I feel is so important. How we present Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world. You know, you can be 100% right and your motive and method be 100% wrong. And when we get into the Word and we study the Word, we find out that biblically we can be right and our motive and method be right. I know the Lord was hard at times in the Word, but you'll notice when He was hard in the Word, it was always towards the religious. When it came to sinners or those that were needing God or seeking God, He was always very merciful. very long-suffering. And we don't want to forget where God brought us from. How many of y'all remember where you were when the Lord found you? What a mess, huh? Now, there's a few of you out there, you've been perfect all your life. But most of us were a mess when the Lord found us. All right. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17. I know I didn't send that. Did I even send them to you? Did I forget again? Yeah, I sent them. Oh, okay. All right. Matthew 5, 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, just a moment, my screen went blank. Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, Jesus wasn't talking about the book of Corinthians or the book of Acts. It hadn't been written yet. In fact, he wasn't even talking about Matthew, because Matthew hadn't been written yet. He was talking about the Mosaic law. Do you understand that? He was talking about Old Testament law, not New Testament law. Okay. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's a pretty serious statement. Is there anybody here want to go to heaven? I know I do. So the Lord said, unless our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. I know you're standing. Stay with me just a moment longer. Now, we're not going to get on this tonight. However, I want you to know that verse 20 cannot be fulfilled outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I will never live so righteous that our works or deeds or goods will inherit us the kingdom. It'll never happen. The Bible says every man has come short. Every man has fallen, right? Every man has sinned. No one seeks God, the word says. So this verse is fulfilled in its totality through the blood of Calvary. In other words, his righteousness is imputed into us. So the way that my righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees is through his righteousness. You understand that? All right. However, he flows through this chapter to make some very powerful points that I want us to get a hold of, and I want us to understand how important it is how we present this wonderful gospel. So let's pray and ask the Lord to open our hearts and our minds to his word and to speak through Pastor tonight. Father, we come to you in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask that you touch my mind and my spirit. I pray that you minister to this congregation, that each and every one of us would hear, and that we would hear, God, and understand, that we would hear the word of the Lord and allow it to take root in our hearts. Lord, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of an unrighteous generation. We are the only hope that this world has. We must present you in such a way that when they look upon, as the Bible says, our works, our good works, they will glorify the Father that is in heaven. We must present you in such a way, Lord, that they are excited to come to you, that they are thirsty and desiring of you and your love and compassion and what you can do in their lives and how you can turn them around and their families. Father, I just pray it, I ask it in the wonderful, mighty name of the Lord Jesus. And everybody say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Clap your hands as you are seated. And let's give the Lord praise. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We adore you in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. So we have been studying this wonderful chapter. We have a long ways to go. But the Lord laid this on my heart in the beginning of the year to walk through the Sermon of the Mount. There are so many incredible teachings in this sermon that covers a couple of chapters of the Word of the Lord, a little over two chapters. And these teachings which the New Testament writers, Paul the Apostle, Peter and John and others that wrote the books of the New Testament, reach into this message, this sermon, multiple times in their teachings and pull them in and do a greater explaining and revelation of the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over the couple of months and the weeks that we've been studying this, we talked about that we are blessed. Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. We call them the Beatitudes, but the blessedness of this great sermon. We learned that not only are we blessed, but we are to be blessers. We receive a blessing to give a blessing. That we are the representation to the world of Jesus Christ. We are the salt of the world. We are the light. The church is that example in which people will see and glorify the Father, the Bible tells us. He wants us to know that it matters how we present him to the world. Luke chapter 6 and verse 39 says, "And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind?" This verse is also included in the Sermon on the Mount. It is just simply recorded by Luke rather than Matthew. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? So not only does it matter how we present him, it does matter how we believe. Truth is in his word. And it is not in such a way that we must solve the puzzle to find truth. But it is in such a way that we must be honest. We must be honest with ourselves, and we must be honest with God, and we must be honest with men. And when we become honest in our heart, in our spirit, in our walk with God, truth will be revealed. You know who doesn't know truth? Those who don't want to know truth. He say, "But Pastor, that's hard." No, that's what the book says. That the gospel is hid, right? To those that are lost, blinded by the things of the world. And he goes on to explain, talking in different areas about men who have chosen to believe a lie. But if you will be honest with yourself, and honest with God, and honest with men, and hunger after him, he will reveal himself to you, because he loves every man and every woman. Amen. We learned in our teaching that we cannot arbitrarily choose how we want to interpret the word of the Lord. In fact, you will find that the New Testament, except for the book of Revelations, the New Testament doesn't need any interpretation at all. It means exactly what it says. Many books in the Old Testament, of course, because they were prophetic books, they do need to be interpreted. I've yet to find one that had it, but they do need to be interpreted. Usually we see the fulfillment and the understanding of these books as in hindsight, 2020, looking back and seeing, oh, that is what was meant. We cannot read the Word of God and twist it and turn it so that it fits our desires, our flesh, our wants, our ambitions in life. Instead, we read the Word of God and we change our desires, our wants, our desires, and our ambitions. We change those to fit the Word of God. And I want to tell each and every one of us tonight, you will never be better off until you walk according to His Word. The best days of your life is when you change who you are to fit this book. You'll never be happier. You'll never be safer. You'll never be healthier. You'll never be wiser. You'll never have more joy. You'll never experience more love. You'll never have more peace or more tranquility until you change your ways to fit this book, my Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. If the world is going to believe, if the world is going to be set free from sin and bondage, there must be a light that is in this world that is a light of truth. We cannot proclaim to be the church and then position ourselves in such a way in which we are able to walk hand in hand with a world that is lost and dying. If we are going to be the church, we are going to be at odds with the things of the world. There's no way around it. Jesus came into this world not to line himself up to darkness, but to expose it. Because only by being exposed can you make a choice. If the light has never shined on you and you never come to the understanding that the way that I am living is wrong and sinful, then you will never have an opportunity to make a choice. And the Bible is full of choices, explaining to us and showing us so that we can make choices. We are the light in a dark, dreary world. In fact, the Bible doesn't call it darkness. It calls it gross darkness. It is the type of darkness that those that live therein have no hope of finding their way. Unless a light can come, a light bright enough to begin to show them a path to get them out of the darkness they are in. Not every man will accept the light. Not every man will choose to walk the path. That is not our choice. That is not our problem. Our problem or our obligation is to be that light. So that all men who choose and all men who hunger and all men who desire will certainly have a direction in which to travel and a way in which to go. The church is that light. It is sad that I must stand before you and say that religion has sorely and pitifully failed humanity. This is what Jesus begins to walk through in this Sermon on the Mount. after he goes through the, you are blessed and that you should bless, and you're the salt and you're the light, and you're going to be persecuted, but you're even blessed in your persecution. When he goes through all of that, he begins to address the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Who were they? They were the religious people of the time. And he began to address them and show them how they had taken God's word and they had twisted it to fit their own desires and their own pleasures and their own religion. God said, I never intended for these things to be this way. And the Lord began to show them and walk them through and talk about different. We dealt with this last Wednesday night. But begin to talk about the different areas of how the word had been twisted, misunderstood. And that how Jesus had come into the world to be the light of the world. And to expose these things. Why? Because the way that God's word and the way religion was presenting itself, men would be religious, but they would still be lost. Men would walk in religion, but they would be lost. Jesus had come to plainly make it so. We are not to be religious. We are to be the light of a God who loves a lost humanity. Granted, that light will no doubt expose wickedness. As we walk through this world, you and I, in love, in passion, and in sincerity to the souls of men, as we walk in this world, our light will offend some. There's no way around it. It will cause men to jeer back as though being in a dark room and someone throwing on a bright light, and you cover your eyes because you're trying to let your eyes adjust to the light. I understand that these things are indeed going to happen. This is why it is so important that when we walk carrying this pure light, when we walk in righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, when we stand for what is right and we separate ourselves from what is wrong, when we proclaim sin without compromise, when we proclaim righteousness without compromise, when we carry the word in an unadulterated fashion and an uncontaminated fashion, and we walk through the world and men now can see because of the bright light of the church and what righteousness is, they're able to see what is right and what is wrong. It's why it's so important that while we do that, we are wrapped in love. We are wrapped in compassion. We are wrapped in hope that when men see the light and sin is exposed, that at the same time, they see the love of God and the compassion of God and the hope of deliverance, of being set free. That this is not a God that's come to judge them. It is a God that has come to redeem them. He is not a God that has come to look down on them. He's a God that's come to lift them up, wrap his arms around them, and love them. That's what it means when the word says, be the light. Yes, they must be able to see the love of God. They must be able to see the righteousness of God, or they'll die in their sins. Paul the apostle said, if it were not for the law, I would not know that I was breaking the law. He said, therefore is the law evil? God forbid, because I would have still died in my sins. But because of the law, I know right from wrong, but I also found a
Savior, because he said, when I try to do right, there's something in my body that wars against it. When I want to do good, I do evil. When I want to do right, I do wrong. And then he said, who is going to help this old wretched man? Thank God for Jesus Christ. It's how the Lord intends us to carry this gospel. Oh, yes, we must stand for what's right. We must live in righteousness. We cannot compromise the church. We cannot do like religion does today and walk so close to the world that you can't even tell us apart. What good is a light that blends so well with darkness that you cannot even tell where it's coming from? It must be focused. It must be apparent. The very concept of being the light expresses an opposing force. The church stays the church, and the longer we do that, the worse it's going to get. I want to get off on all of that. We touched on that several times. We walk through this world, and we shine the light in righteousness. Matthew 5 and 16 says, let your light, everybody say, so shine. I told you that word there refers to what precedes and what follows. So the Lord had dealt with all of these situations, and then he looks at his disciples and he says, let your light so shine. When you walk in the world, when the church sees the world, they ought to recognize that adultery is wrong. When the church sees the world, they ought to recognize that immoral lifestyles are wrong. That's the light. It exposes. When the world sees the church, they ought to see that there's a way for a man to treat his wife and the wife to treat the husband. They ought to be able to see that. It's the light. When the world sees the church, they ought to see that there's a way to raise your children in the fear and admonition of God, in love, but in discipline, teaching what is right and what is wrong. When the world sees you and I, they ought to know from the light, it's wrong to take the Lord's name in vain. It's wrong to steal, to kill, or murder. It is wrong to covet and lust and have greed and envy and strife and hatred. Wow, the list goes on, doesn't it? My question is, when the world sees us, do they see these things? Or are we so well blended in that they can't really tell any difference at all? When the world sees the church, there ought to be no doubt there's something different about that one. Not just the way you dress, but the way you act, the way you speak, your mannerism, everything about you. We walk through this world, we ought to be an irritating, we ought to be so, and I'm saying this in love, so stay with me for a second. We ought to be so irritating to a dark world that they cannot ignore you. If you are an apostolic Christian and you are walking in the light of truth, your job will hate you. But not all of them. Because while you walk in truth, in the light, you walk in love. And you walk in passion. And you walk in gentleness. And so those that are hungry will be attracted to you. And the next thing you know, Brother Travis, they're going to be in the altar. I got that story. Travis told me that story about you and Joe. I don't see Joe tonight. He's not here tonight. All right, we'll drag him out on Sunday. But him and Joe, and first time Joe met Travis. Now, I'm preaching, so this is my version. But it will be close. It will be close. So if I remember that, Joe meets Travis, he comes on the job, or Joe, I don't know, one of them. The first conversation, or real close to the first conversation, don't shake your head no, everything's yes. I know you meant when you said no, you meant, yeah, man, that's true, but they don't know that. So you up and down, it's universal American way, world, yes, okay. They met, some of the first things that come out of Joe's mouth, he said, I hate them Pentecostals, them apostolics. That was the first thing out of his mouth. I hate them apostolics. I hate them Jesus baptizing people. He don't even know who Travis is. No doubt he's an apostolic, baptized Jesus' name, tongue talking, holy roller. And he's just going on and on and on and on and on. And Travis just nodding his head, looking at him and smiling. And then they just start talking about God a little bit. And you just kind of nudge your way in there in love and in compassion. Now if he would have just bowed up and started spewing out all kinds of stuff and saying, you're going to go to hell if you don't believe this way. And you're just a reprobate. You're just a pine, lead the pine. You're just a ditch digger. That's what you are. You're just going to, you know how we can get sometimes. None of y'all, of course. I'm talking about the other people. Trying to deliver this thing in a way that's not right, huh? No. He loved him. And now, I don't know, a few months later, I don't know how it's been, weeks or months or whatever. There's Joe standing in the altar, got his hands up, talking in tongues as God filled him with the Holy Ghost. What is that? That is a combination of light and love. You got to have them both. If he wouldn't have had the light, Joe would have never been drawn. There would have never been anything to draw him to it. But if he'd have had the light and no love, he would have been repelled from the light because he lived in darkness. But because he had light, and when it repelled the darkness, the love reached out and got a hold of him and pulled him in. That's why we got to walk with both. And that's what the Holy Ghost is trying to say tonight. I want you to walk in righteousness. I want you to live in truth. Don't compromise truth. Don't yield. Don't let sin in just to make people feel comfortable. No. We've got to walk in truth. We got to live right, walk right, talk right. We've got to get in that book, learn that book, and live a life of righteousness and godliness. But we must walk in love. We must walk in compassion. I'm here to tell you that the apostolic church ought to be the most loving group of people on the planet.
Of course, part of love is telling truth. I'm trying to get to my teaching tonight. I hadn't got there yet. Oh, there's the beginning. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Now watch what he says. Abstain from fleshly lusts. What does he establish? The light. You have to be the light. You can't go into the world and enjoy yourself in fleshly lust with them. Because when you start talking about God, they might smile at you, but in the back of their mind, they're saying, bro, you ain't, I got as much God as you do.
In fact, probably a little more, because I'm not so stupid to talk about him while I'm drinking. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. Does anybody have fleshly lust in the house? You bunch of sinners. Which do what? Which war against the soul. Isn't that the truth? Wars against the soul. But look how he continues. All right. He said, abstain from fleshly lusts, which wars against your soul. However, next verse, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, whereas they speak against you as evildoers. Now watch me. That they may by your good works, which they shall, what? Actions. How do they behold it? You walk in their midst as a bright light. You don't have to walk around proclaiming and all. No. You just live the life. Listen, we're not fleshly beings with a spirit. We're spiritual beings trapped in a fleshly body. And we feel one another's spirit. You can see someone can walk through the door and you go, whoo, something on him. Man, he's mad. Or whatever, right? You feel that spirit. I felt some of y'all. That's why it took me so long to warm up. I'm just kidding. You guys are all perfect. Having your conversation honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they are going to see your deeds. They are going to see truth. You're going to walk in truth. You're going to be the light. It is going to aggravate them, repel them, repulse them, convict them, and in some cases probably even condemn them. And so what are they going to do? They're going to begin to speak against you as evildoers. Ha! They may, but he goes on to say, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, however, he said, you must abstain from fleshly lusts. You must not join in. You must have that honest conversation among them. You must live righteous in their midst. They will speak against you, but they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Paul said one day God's going to show up and he's going to knock on their heart. And what they're going to remember is your words, your actions, your life. They're going to remember that light and something's going to begin to move inside of them. I want that. I want that. I need that. They're going to walk around and talk about you as an evildoer. But when sin has beat them in the dirt, when sin has ripped everything out of their life, when they've lost everything and they're on their bed of despair, it's going to be your good works. What is that? The light, the truth, walking in righteousness, not fulfilling lustly flesh, no, abstaining, honest conversation, loving them, treating them right. In their moment of despair, when they cry out to God, is there anything? And God visits them. It's going to be the light and the love that draws them in. James chapter 3 and verse number 13. Who is a wise man, endued with knowledge among you. Who's wise among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Other verses, I'm not going to read them, just refer to them. I don't think they're in the list, sis. 1 Timothy 4:12, the Bible says, be thou an example in conversation. What is this? This is walking as the light, but behaving ourselves in such a way that men are drawn to him through your good works or your good words. Philippians 1:27 says, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. You know, the Bible says, let your words be yea, yea, nay, nay. How many of y'all know when you say more than that, you get in trouble? My wife says something, I go, yay. I don't even get to the nays. I just stay with the yays. I found out the nays don't work in marriage, but the yays do great. Of course, when she's gone, you know. Anyway, Hebrews 13:15, let your conversation be without covetousness. 1 Peter 1:15, be holy in all manner of conversation. What's he talking about? He's talking about being a light in the midst of the Gentiles. You don't join in their dirty jokes. And you don't have to slap them. You just walk away. And then when you see that they're done, you come back and tell a clean one. I don't even know if there is clean jokes. I've never heard one. 1 Peter 3:2. Chaste conversation coupled with fear. Romans 13:12. The night is forespent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Paul is talking about walking as the light amongst the Gentiles. We cannot compromise when we leave here and go into the world. We cannot blend with them. You are condemning them. If you blend with them, you are condemning them. Now, some people would take that and say, well, you know, you're telling us to be stuck up. No, no, no. I've already preached for 20 minutes that you are to love them, cherish them, speak well of them. Don't join in somebody else's conversation talking bad about one of your coworkers or one of your neighbors. Because when the time comes of the day of visitation in their life and you go to witness to them, you're not going to be much of a witness. They're going to go, bro, you need to repent as much as I do. You go to tell them, look, you need to go tell this brother, this sister, you need to apologize for what you've done and get this right. And they're going to reach out and get your hand and say, come on. So, no, 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 you're the one with the problem. Oh, no, 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 you're the one with the problem too. We've been doing this together. You join up, lock hands with this, you're hurting your witness. And when the day of visitation comes, that light is not going to be bright enough. They're not going to know who to turn to. You are the one God sent there for them to turn, to be able to turn to and have good direction. All right, that's just pastor being mean. We're coming to a close. Ephesians 5:8. For here it is. For ye were sometimes darkness. Paul says, don't you remember when you were in darkness? Now, when you were in darkness and God began to deal with you, did you think of your drinking buddy? I'm going to go get John. No, you thought about that irritating jerk who you've hated for years, and all they did was walk in light. That's all they did. They just walked in righteousness. But they loved you, and they were compassionate to you. And when the day of visitation came, that's who you thought of. And when you picked up that phone, it was that person that walked in light and walked in love and drew you. I remember my sister Lynette. Man, I hated her with a passion. She was charismatic. And And then she started dating a backslidden apostolic, a brother named Blackie. And guess where he took her to church? He was as backslid as they came, but he knew truth. He wasn't going to go nowhere else. Took her to an apostolic church. Man, she got full of the Holy Ghost, got baptized in Jesus' name, started living for God. She started coming over to the house. I remember one time I was up in the attic. I was putting in an attic fan. You know, we didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have window panes. We had cardboard, though. It's nice because you could cut it with a knife and bend it open and the air would come through easy. You just had to change them after every winter, every storm, you know. Anyway, so I was up there. I was putting in an attic fan, we call them. I'm sure you know what it is. Big old fan up in the attic that sucks up and it pulls air through the windows. And so my mama could, I'd set her in front of the window and that air could come by, you know. So I was up there and I was nailing the nail. And I heard my sister downstairs talking to mama. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And my mama was the most godly woman you'll ever meet in all your life. She taught Sunday school after she got a great touch of God when she was around 21. She was raised Catholic. She got a great touch of God. She came out from Catholicism, and I think she went into the Baptist church, and she was a wonderful Sunday school teacher, loved God, and raised us kids in the fear of God. And I heard my sister down there saying to my mom, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And she wasn't mean or ugly. She did it in love. She was a light and love. But I was so mad. I missed that nail. I hit my finger, and, you know, it just kind of put things over top. And I come out of that attic cussing. I used every word Cajun knows. And while I was throwing her out of the house, I was telling her, I am saved, you blankety blank. My mama saved, you blankety blank. I threw her out, pushed her out in the yard. Get out of this house and don't you ever come back again. I mean, I was cussing. I was so mad. So she left. But she came back. But on the day of visitation, you think I went to my brothers, my drinking buddies? You think I went to my dope buddies? No, I found my sister. And I made my way to an apostolic church. And God baptized me in his name. Because she came with truth. And she brought it with love. She was the vessel of truth, but she rode on a carriage of love. Let's stand, if you will. Paul says, you were sometime in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How do you do that? You walk in the light. That's all. You don't compromise. You don't yield. No matter how evil they speak of you, you just keep walking in truth. But you love them every day. When everyone else turns against them, you be there for them. You find out they're short on money and they're low on gas. You say, follow me to the gas station. The Lord wants to put gas in your car. You love them through words and you love them through actions and you love them through deeds, but you never compromise truth. Never compromise truth. I finish with this scripture. Isaiah 60 and 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth,
and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. He's talking about the Lord here, but he's also talking about the church. The church. They will come. Where? They will come to thy light. It's what's going to draw them. Truth is not what pushes hungry men away. It draws them. And it's love that will anchor him. It's 8:23. I wonder if just for a few minutes, if we can make our way down to the front. We'll be done at 8:30, so that's 6 minutes. I heard a couple murmurs. I'm preaching on murmuring next week. And we're going to covet to the Lord. I know Pastor does this on Wednesday nights. You got so many covenants with the Lord, you better go back and check up on them and find out if you're keeping them. Amen. Bless y'all so much. Praise God. We're going to covet with the Lord and ask him to help us, because it's not always an easy thing to do, to walk in that light and at the same time walk in that love and that compassion to the people, especially when they speak evil of you. Sometimes it can be tough. But God's going to help us to do it. We're going to pray, and the Lord is going to touch us with a special touch of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus. Lord, you're in this place right now, God. Hallelujah. The world is dark. People are in darkness, gross darkness. Let's just begin to pray. Father, we come before you as the church. We covet before you. Teach us how to be that light. Teach us how to be that light. Teach us how to walk in righteousness and not compromise truth. Not compromise your word, God. To be that church that walks so that every corner of darkness can see. Let us be that city upon a hill lit that cannot be hid. God, we want to be that light in our city. We want to be that light on the job. We want to be that light in the supermarket. We want to be that light at the gas station. We want to be that light in our neighborhood. We want to be that light everywhere as we go. Lord, some of us stand before you today. We know that we have failed. We know that, God, we have fallen in some areas and haven't done well, God. Maybe got caught up in things. And God, we ask for your forgiveness. Forgive us for that, Lord. We weren't thinking. And God, be merciful, Lord. Let your blood come upon us and wash us clean. And we pray for another chance. God, give us another chance. Another chance with that coworker, another chance with that neighbor, another chance with that friend, that family member, God. Lord, we'll do right. We'll do right, God. Help us, Lord, to reset that somehow and to start afresh and to do right, God. We covenant before you right now. Lord, we're going to be that light. We're not going to compromise, and we're not going to yield to peer pressure. We're not going to yield to financial pressure that, Lord, that we act a certain way in order to get a raise. No, 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 no. God, we're not going to yield. We're not going to compromise. We're going to stay strong. And God, we're going to stay strong in truth and strong in righteousness. And, oh, hallelujah. But God, not only are we going to be the light, but Lord, we're going to walk in love. We're going to carry this gospel the way you want us to carry it. Lord, they're going to see our good works and glorify the Father.
What good works? Works of love and compassion and patience and endurance and temperance and, oh yes, works of peace and gentleness and goodness and the fruits of the Spirit, God. They're going to see these, Lord, and being produced, God. I pray it, Lord. It's the covenant we make before you. I ask that you speak to our hearts everywhere as we go. When we get up, remind us who we are. We are indeed that light, but we are to love. We are to be compassionate. We are to show the love of God. Be there for these hurting people. Be that light, God, so that in the day of their visitation, they will know without a doubt where to go. They will know the direction. They will see plainly the path in which to take. To be able to come to you, Father. It's the covenant we make with you, God. It's the covenant we make with you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Let's just praise him together, God. We love you. We praise you. We adore you. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. Oh, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy. You are blessed, oh God. You are blessed. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you tonight. We bless you. We adore you, Father. We adore you. Hallelujah. 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 We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Praise your name. We praise you. We praise you, Father. Glorify you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So we need to remember that we are not only the light, we are not only truth, but we are to carry that truth in such a way that when the day of visitation comes, it's you that they're going to remember. Not only how you live, but your compassion and your love for them. That's what's going to draw them. Amen. I love you. God bless you. Be good to one another. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Lord bless you.